Martin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was wanting to speak to you all about the proposed tax abatement for Data Center at Tilford Yard, which was on your agenda in September. There were several misrepresentations at that meeting that I'd like to clear up. The developer indicated that the community was in support of this project. That is not correct. In fact, he had not reached out to us at that point in time, but we have since then had time to review this, and we have passed a resolution in opposition, which I have several copies of here that I would like to distribute to the board. That was unanimous, and I believe it is well-reasoned, and if you look it over, you will agree. Feel free to reach out to me if you have any questions on that. Since you have not yet had a final bond resolution for that, I would encourage you all to visit the site, because what you will see there is not what was represented for you in September. In fact, all of the site improvements, which were represented to you as being justification for the incentive, already exist and were built more than a year ago. You don't need to incentivize something that's already there. The private road is already there. The roundabout is already there. The traffic light is already there. The trees are already there, and the steeply graded hillside is already there, and that is plainly visible. Also, you will notice on the site the construction is well underway on the data center. Clearly, it's going to be built whether or not you incentivize it, and therefore you don't need to incentivize it. That, I think, is all I have to say. Matt?
Thank you for joining us today.
All right. Are there any other public comments? No? All right. We'll go into old business. First on the old business assignment is the assignment of 371 East Paces Ferry LLC project to 71 East Paces Ferry Road Owner LLC. The address is 371 East Paces Ferry Road, Atlanta, Georgia. We have Jeff Chestnut, Seth Farr Shaw with us. Is he present or is he online?
Online.
There he is. Hey Jeff, how you doing?
Doing well, how are you?
Doing great. Go ahead and take it away.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. We're here to ask for the board's approval for the assignment of the 371 East Paces LLC project and the associated Series 2017 bonds from 371 East Paces LLC to East Paces Ferry Owner LLC. Both are Delaware LLCs, and the S&E is an affiliate of those organizations further described in the fact sheet. As a reminder, the bond resolution on this project was adopted in January of 2017. The bond was validated and closed in August of 2018. A project summary and status report is provided. As a reminder, this is a medical office building with retail and office uses. And the project has received its initial CO in July of 2018, and the CO for the final unit in October of 2023. The parties have executed a purchase and sale agreement to convey the current company freehold interest in the project, and the summary that the purchase experience has also been provided as well. When the assignment it was permitted and contemplated by the bond documents that were originally approved in the lease section 1, and attached to the resolution before the board today, there are the three standard documents necessary to effect the transfer of bonds. That's an assignment of bonds, lease, and other bond documents, a home office payment agreement with the assignment for the S&E, and amendment to the memorandum of agreement regarding the lease structure evaluation of leasehold interest. These documents have been circulated and reviewed by the authorities council, and for the council for purchaser and seller, and then in order. And at the conclusion of your discussion, we'll ask which of the attached documents. So we can close this transaction this year expeditiously. We do have an attorney for the S&E available to answer any questions. And if you don't have any questions, we'll turn over to the purchaser's team to discuss their experience and plans for the project. But with that, we're happy to answer any questions.
Okay, well, first of all, not that I don't believe you, Jeff, but Lauren, is everything in order?
Yes, the documents are in good shape. All of the standard protections are in place by the authority.
Fantastic. Do any board members have any questions about this project? That's assignment. Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move that we approve the assignment of 371 Paces, East Paces LLC project to 371 East Paces Ferry Road Owner, LLC, as presented.
Is there a second?
Second.
The problem moved to second. Do a roll call vote. Chairman Turple, yes. Vice Chair Beach?
Yes.
Treasurer Bacher?
Yes.
Mike Looney?
Yes.
Laura Curlander?
Yes.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Wish you continued success of the project. All right, next on our agenda is final bond resolution for Georgia Tech Facilities, Inc. in the amount of $65 million. Today we have Harold Smith of Hunton Andrews Perth. Harold?
Good afternoon. We also have on the line with us Jim Pierce and Tanisha Stewart from Georgia Tech Facilities, Inc. They're waiting at you. We are here to adopt the final bond resolution for the purpose of financing a portion of the new 415,000 square foot facility that's going across the street from what all of you know is the Biltmore Hotel on West Beach Street. Specifically, we're doing approximately 100,000 square feet of academic space inside that building. So the bond resolution is before you. We're happy to take any questions or Mr. Pierce and Ms. Stewart would be happy to take questions as well.
Well, everyone knows where I stand. More tech.
Sir, this is going to be an exciting part of it.
No additional comments. Any questions from the board members on this one?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the final bond resolution for Georgia Tech Facilities in the amount of $65 million.
Second.
Okay, properly moved to second. We'll go over a roll call vote. Chair Turbo, yes. Vice Chair Beach?
Yes.
Treasurer Bacher?
Yes.
Mike Looney?
Yes.
Laura Curlander?
Yes.
Fantastic. Thank you. Congratulations. Keep it going strong.
I appreciate it. Have a great day. Thank you so much. Bye.
There is no new business, but there is one item for discussion. P9 Flat Shoals LLC. The address is 4797 Flat Shoals Road, Union City. We looked at this project when we had a fairly new board. Our board has changed significantly since that time. And this project appears to still be in need of an incentive. And they also would like to close at the end of the year, but they just came to us. There was not enough time for the staff to relook at the application and distribute it to the board. But since this project is trying to breathe some life into it and has strong community support, matter of fact, we had Mayor Vince Williams online with us, because of that support, we figured that we could take this time to let Allison Dreyer of Holland at Night speak about the project and what the need is, so that when we come back for our December 5th meeting, it may be an agenda item that is moving rather swiftly. Allison?
Actually. Oh, I'm here, and we've got some folks from stream here.
So oh, wow, okay, sorry.
But Allison's great.
Yeah, once I see Allison, I just kind of drift. So I apologize. And from stream, we have Nick Preacher and Benjamin Hawk.
Yes.
Fantastic. Will you take it away?
Yeah, and just going back even further in history, you all induced and approved a different distribution facility that Stream has operating in Fulton County called the Graham Logistics, which is in South Fulton,
correct.
I think, yes. With all the changes. And that's doing great, because what Stream does when they get an incentive like this, none of it goes into their pocket. They use 100% of the incentive to entice tenants to locate. And so it's 100% pass-through, and they're able to thus get tenants that are competing with other distribution warehouse facilities around. So when this facility came up, it was sort of the next phase in Union City. But the board at that time, my recollection was there was a lot of discussion of the fact that it was a spec and there was no tenant identified. And you all made your decision to not move forward with the inducement. The building has been built, and just you'll go ahead and go through it. It's a 360,000 square foot facility that was completed in September with about a $29 million capital investment. The problem is, they haven't been able to get any tenants. And I'm going to let Ben kind of talk through. Do they have the PowerPoint?
I think that's potentially an old PowerPoint.
Yeah. But I'd let Ben talk about the challenges they've had and how many tenants have looked at it and gone to the neighboring county distribution centers with the incentive. They're confident they lease it up. And I know the mayor's here in support, but mainly I want you to talk about the project and where you are and kind of the struggles.
Thanks for allowing us the time. It's good to see everybody again. Yes, so as Woody described, we went about it solo, built the building. Really, I think the disappointing fact is we've been competing a lot with the I-20 West market, which has a lower property tax. We most recently lost a deal to that market, and the lower property taxes are obviously an incentive to do so. We've looked at everything, like the Georgia Aquarium was looking at storing its animals in the building. And so there's actually some high-paying jobs, some high-density jobs that have looked at the building and have passed over. We are charging in line of market. I would even argue we're not the most expensive building, so it's not like we're trying to pass those dollars into our pocket. Really, what we want to do is just try to get as many jobs and get the building full in Union City as quick as possible. And I think it's, I sparred with a gentleman about a year ago who's no longer here, but we now know the answer to the story in that. It's been really difficult. I can say right now, under oath, that we don't have any active tenants looking at the building. We tend to get maybe a prospect a week or so, but nothing is engaged with us right now negotiating terms. Marva reached out about some life sciences work that we're doing, and we were talking about that. And she asked about this project, and we started talking about it. And so I apologize for the rush, but it was more kind of out of conversation on other Fulton County business. So happy to answer any questions as well.
And we also want to give Mayor Williams, his time is real valuable to say a few words about the project and his support for it.
Thank you, and thank you, board members, for allowing me the opportunity to speak. with this facility already built and existing in my community, one of the biggest challenges we have is having a vacant facility, that is not producing or performing at all. I need each and every board member to consider what opportunities are available to us. And I just listened to my friend just shared that there was a possibility of having the Georgia Aquarium possibly, utilizing that space for an opportunity. When you look at, and I hate to get on this bandwagon, but I've got to, when you look at projects and opportunities in other parts of the county, it's almost just swiftly done. But when we talk about what's happening on the south side, and we all know that the south side is going to be an integral part of what takes place in the metro Atlanta area, why does it take so long? Because I was really disappointed the last time around that this didn't get supported. So I am hoping that this board, this new and reinvigorated board, will support this. Because I don't need a vacant, almost half a million square foot facility in my city. I've taken a lot of hits over the years about these types of development, but I knew what I was going to do to support these types of job creators. And that's what this will do, and that's what it will be. So I need your support to support this opportunity, not just for me, but for the community, but also for Metro Atlanta. So I'm looking at all of you in your eyeballs right now. And I need your support to make sure that we get this done. That's all I have to say. Thank you. I love you. There ain't nothing you can do about it.
I have a question for the mayor.
Have you polled your residents to see what their opinions are on this center?
Well, let me tell you, we polled the residents initially when this facility was coming in. And, you know, when we didn't get the support, you know, to move forward, because as this got the support it needed, this would be a vibrant facility where people are coming in and coming out to go to work, to create opportunities to take care of their families, and maybe even buy a home in Union City or neighboring communities. So, you know, at this point, it truly, you know, is really an afterthought to reach back out to the community when the facility is standing right in our face, but it's vacant.
All right. Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor, for giving your time today to speak on the project. I'm going to ask one question, but not many more, because the board will be getting a full package so they can read and study and analyze. But what is the estimated number of jobs that this facility will support?
I mean, it's wide, so we don't have a tenant that would be induced. Typically, what we see is somewhere between one job to three jobs per 1,000 square feet.
Okay.
And it depends on the number of shifts, and there's a lot of ifs. I'm not trying to give you a...
No, no, I got you.
But
in how many square feet?
Yeah, so it's 360.
So between 300 and 900 jobs.
That's depending.
Depending on who the tenant is.
Max, like you're running three shifts a day. With
probably, probably in the 300 to 400 or 500.
Our parking is over one per thousand. Okay.
I like jobs.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Chairman, I've raised this in the past as we've been having these discussions. In the end, I will tell you I will ultimately support this project because I believe that if the local government is wanting it, then they know what it takes and what they're losing in the process. But I have to tell you, I think this project is starting to prove out two things. One, that our commission needs to step back and really think about what property tax rates are doing to really hurt the county overall. It's making us non-competitive to the counties around us. We lost a lot up in Johns Creek to South Forsyth, and property taxes was the driver. It wasn't Johns Creek's tax rate. It was the combined tax rates of the three jurisdictions that tax. The more important thing is what I keep hearing. Is, and Stream just argued this themselves, that they got an inducement on a project in South Fulton, and now they need an inducement to stay competitive on a project in Union City, practically across the street, in that the two border each other. I don't know how far apart the facilities are. We are creating, I believe, through unintended consequences, new market rates. And the whole point of inducements, and I constantly point to Avalon as the example of this. The whole point of inducements is to spark development where it otherwise wouldn't have come, or to level the playing field where something would leave Fulton and go somewhere else. Neither of those are true in these triple net lease pass-through inducements that we keep being asked to do. Yes, the project will probably not be successful. Yes, maybe they would locate in a neighboring county. But what I think is happening is we're creating a new market rate that then is dependent on every similar type transaction to have inducement. So let me be clear, I'm 100% in support of this. This has already started. I think we would be remiss to let a warehouse sit empty. But I think we really need to have a more thoughtful conversation next year about how we can better attract these types of projects without creating new market rates that then are going to require inducements and the taxpayers to invest every single time. I just don't think that's fair to the taxpayers.
Okay, so I heard two things. Our market rate might be too high.
Well, it's not our market rate.
Well, I mean, Fulton County's market rate might be too high. And the other thing is we may not want to create lower market rate through inducement. I'm hearing, it's like I'm seeing.
No, you missed my first point. My first point wasn't about market rate. My first point was about the fact that Fulton has the highest, to my knowledge, property tax burden on its taxpayers. The neighboring counties are all lower than Fulton. That creates a need to level the playing field automatically, and I don't think we can constantly depend on the DAFC to be the leveler of that on their behalf, because that just means that we're doing what the commissioners aren't doing, which is
affecting the millage rate. Secondly, I said that the inducements that we are giving that are pass-throughs on triple net leases, we're doing it for data warehouses, we're doing it for regular warehouses, you know, non-data warehouses. We're creating a new market rate that is now dependent on us to maintain itself.
Gotcha. Dr. Looney?
Well, first and foremost, I look forward to the discussion when we get a formal application. I'm not in a position to say how I would vote at this point in time. I'm interested in learning more. I have some I wonders as you contemplate the application process. One is, I wonder what the long game is. If the inducement, or if the incentive is going to allow a pass-through of cost to, or savings to the renters or the leasees, then that's good for a short term during the time of the inducement, but what's the long term here? I wonder that. I also wonder, Mayor, good friend of mine, I wonder what, you know, as we continue to build distribution centers, what that's doing to traffic congestions and truck. There's already concerns about that. I don't know the answer to that, but so I wonder. I wonder if the application is going to have the same type of incentive as the original application, or if there's some in between ground where you're attracting tenants, but you're saving the taxpayers as much money as possible in the process. And then this is an unfortunate reality. I've had my own business before. The fact is, I don't mean to belittle y'all, but y'all made a business decision to build this without a tax incentive. And I'm a little bit hesitant to. It's kind of like when we saved the automakers. We got a business that made a business decision. Not been successful thus far, and now it's almost like we're considering some sort of temporary bailout, for lack of a better way to describe it. But I'm certainly open to the conversation. I would ask that as you consider moving forward, think about what your ask really has to be for you to be successful, because you didn't go across the finish line last time.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right, well, we look forward to getting your application. Hopefully the feedback that you've got from the board to this point will help you shape it and craft an answer any questions. Thank you for giving us your time and bringing this back to us for consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Mayor.
So now we'll move to, take care, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for coming. Items for discussion, we did that. So now we're reports and presentations. Update from our executive director.
Thank you, Chairman. We attended the ARC State of the Region with Speaker Mitch Landrieu from the White House last week, who highlighted the importance of economic development in Georgia and, of course, across the country. We attended the ribbon cutting for a developer who has purchased several crime-ridden apartments that were featured, some on First 48, so just a true testament to what investing in a community, how it can transform a neighborhood. Our executive and finance and strategic initiative committees met and made progress in a number of areas, including the budget, the business plan, and future grants. Yesterday, we attended the GEDA luncheon where Cartersville, Bartow, Bainbridge, Fayetteville development authorities were recognized for transformational projects. We have several upcoming positive economic development opportunities on the horizon, so we are all working on that. We have one of MARVA, we need four of MARVA. The December meeting is early, December 5th, so I look forward to seeing you all, and as I said, a number of positive opportunities coming up at that meeting. So thank you, Chairman.
All right, great, thank you. The executive committee did meet. One of the things that we took up was the amended and restated economic development service agreement between Fulton County and the Development Authority of Fulton County. We have Samir Abdullahi here with us, who is the director of Select Fulton, and I want to yield the floor to him because I just, you know, he's good.
I appreciate that. That's a warm lead. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Samir Abdullahi. As Marty mentioned, I'm the director of Select Fulton. We're the economic and workforce development arm of Fulton County government. I have a nice pretty deck. I would love to go through. I think
this is a good priming the pump conversation that would go into some of your strategic planning conversations for 2024. This is one of several iterations of service agreements that the county has had with the Development Authority. Really, it's somewhat of an antiquated agreement. It dealt with kind of a legacy issue in terms of being structured as a management agreement. I'll go thumb it through our timeline, but really we were founded under the management of the Development Authority of Fulton County. We have somewhat birthed out of that now. And so this document, I think, reaffirms our partnership, but I think better memorializes our roles and responsibilities. I love the field of economic development. It's a terribly nebulous term that nobody really knows what it means. It's like sustainability and technology. So I think through some of this work and this updated agreement, we'll have a little bit more clarity around functions, goals, and service delivery. So again, the need for the updated agreement, one is really about defining each of our respective roles. I think at a staff level, we work very collaboratively together, but there can be definitely some confusion internal to this building as well as external to the building. And another large important piece around this is around improved service delivery. It's important for us to know kind of which way we're supposed to be rowing so we can row in that direction. And I think this agreement somewhat affirms some of this. Since some of you are new to the board, new to the Development Authority, just wanted to kind of go quickly through a timeline of Select Fulton. We were formed in 2016. Really an idea from the county manager and saying we've got a county economic development team, somewhat undefined in what their role and responsibility was, as well as the Development Authority of Fulton County. So we have these two economic development entities functioning in the county, supporting the county, but not necessarily working together, working collaboratively. And so that was really the birth of Select Fulton under the management of the Development Authority. By 2018, we had really grown our portfolio by adding on Workforce Fulton. It's our federal workforce grant. Got a bunch of bad press from the AJC about forfeiting grant funds, not expending them in a timely manner. And really what we wanted to do is elevate this from an exclusively social services activity to an empowerment function as well as a business services function. And I think we've done a great job. We've really got a great leader named Brett Lacey. Poached him from the state. He really wrote the rule book at the state, so they still call him when they're trying to disagree with the rules that he already wrote himself. But got great leadership over on the workforce development side of things. Coming back to 2020, is really the separation. Again, Select Fulton somewhat standing on its own with this board really reconstituting itself with a lot of new members. I think the idea at the time was let the Development Authority focus on itself and let Select Fulton continue to go down the path and really augmenting what it was around economic development. And maybe the most important piece, not my headshot, obviously, in the AJC, the most important piece in 2021 is really the affirmation that we've been given by the Board of Commissioners to be the economic development arm for Fulton County government. And that's the Board of Commissioners creating a Department of Economic Development. I know it sounds bureaucratic, but you really signal again to the marketplace that you take it seriously. We were a function under the county manager, so we somewhat stand alone and stand our own 2 feet. Go to the next slide. So as you think about the two organizations, this is kind of where the discussions led, and some of the natural lanes that we both fill given the tools in our toolkits. You can really think about Select Fulton as that economic and community development arm of Fulton County government. So our big focus is around jobs and job centers, not only bringing employers to the space, so we do things, and we'll go into detail on that, around site selection and the like, but making sure that employers are successful from a workforce development standpoint. If you think about the Development Authority of Fulton County, much more in the lane around commercial development, so getting those buildings out of the ground, whether it's spec or when we come with a competitive project, and providing that bond financing that's unique to Development Authority. So just drilling down a little bit more on what we meant about community and economic development. These are kind of four core services. One around business services, so that's your very traditional economic development. That's your business recruitment and retention efforts, so inbound businesses. That's supporting our cities with BRE, so business retention and expansion efforts. How do you help companies that are already here growing? We've done things, especially during the pandemic, around small business financing, so loan programs that we do with Access to Capital for Entrepreneurs, a local CDFI. We've done technical assistance that we're doing in partnership with the South Fulton Chamber of Commerce through a grant that we've gotten through the SBA. We've got this big initiative. The county manager says it's the largest redevelopment activity that the county is taking on in what we call Renew the District, with some of our exclusive properties we've got that are in Fulton Industrial and, of course, our executive airport. Has everyone done a tour of the airport? You should call me after. We need to go see the airport. You need to be on that bandwagon. So that's really the lane of the business services. Again, helping companies to locate here, making them successful from a workforce and talent perspective, helping small businesses with either financial tools or tools and resources that we have on our website. Next slide. Another big piece of this is why I'm always wearing my light skin, my workforce socks on today. But we're a big marketer, for Fulton County government and Fulton County. We've built a brand identity around Metro Atlanta starts here. Metro Atlanta is the brand identity. There are five different Fulton counties in the United States, so no one ever knows which one we're talking about. So that's why we've leaned into the Metro Atlanta model. And we think whatever's in Metro Atlanta, you have access to that here in Fulton County. I will challenge you on your millage rate stats. I feel like Clayton County, DeKalb County, there's a few other counties with higher millage rates. We're not forced. We do some Fulton County storytelling. Again, we do ads in the Business Chronicle. Will be on the cover for the Book of Lists this year, as well as a little editorialized piece of that. We do industry shows, so Bio, Money 2020. We do that in partnership with our Metro Atlanta Chamber partners, with our state partners. So we go outbound to industry events to promote Fulton County, really Metro Atlanta, as a great place to do trade and commerce. Again, another big lane that we fill, and all of that is leveraged to our workforce development grant, which is about $3 million, is our career training programs. We take upskilling for low-income individuals, try to get them to that middle-income wage, providing them funding and stipends for technical college training, quick, rapid credentialing. We just had a good board meeting this morning. Brian Noyes was there. So we've got a big board. It's about 26 members. It's a very healthy group. And then we serve really as that regional collaborator. We don't like to do things in silos, so it's the five local area workforce boards across the city of Atlanta and the surrounding jurisdictions. We recognize that when we bring an employer here, not all those jobs are going to come from Fulton County. As much as we would love them to, they're not all going to get filled by Fulton County residents. So we want to bring the system to the table to help leverage those opportunities and really think about workforce development challenges regionally. We as a regional economic development entity do much better than like individual cities doing their own workforce development training. And then lastly, again, just by virtue of being the county government, doing a lot of this regional coordination. That can be our regular meetings that we have with the six cities in North Fulton, kind of under the Greater North Fulton Chamber of Commerce, whether it's through the Aerotropolis, Economic Development Collective, the meeting with our city south. Brett, my workforce manager, manages and sits as the co-chair of the Workforce Development Collective for the Aerotropolis Alliance. So I serve as chairman for the Regional Marketing Alliance, which is the 11-county region that promotes. This is a great place to national site selectors, so we do high-end VIP events. Leading on transportation and transit issues, you know, Fulton County continues to do T-SPLOS funding, leading that discussion with both transportation and trying to mirroring some of that the city of Atlanta has done on the transit side of things. We've got a 40-year plan for water and sewer build out in South Fulton that we're doing for our public works department, as well as serving expansion projects up north. So a lot of different touch points, but again, kind of in that same spirit of business support and worker support, things built around jobs. When we think about the Development Authority and Develop Fulton, I think of these two big buckets, again, around commercial development and bond financing. If you look at the commercial development side of things, it's the traditional things that this board does at its regular board meetings, so bond for title issuances. You'll have an updated report to the board around GASB 77. If you haven't been indoctrinated, it's a simple reporting thing, but I think a great opportunity for the authority to demonstrate its impact in the community. This board has always been great. Doris Coleman's always been very good about supporting state REBA grants. Again, these have to flow through development authorities, so we couldn't do all this great project recruitment without the support of this board. And again, continuing to monitor, this board has always taken a leadership role around legislation for development authorities, protecting that tool in the toolkit. And then a lot of great work around bond financing. We just talked about Georgia Tech here, so federally tax exempt bond issuances, doing TEFRA hearings and the like. And then again, local and regional promotion of the development authorities. So those are the kind of two big buckets that I think of when I think about the development authorities. So what are the benefits for me? The first two are most important. One, it helps us for better planning. Us, when I say us, I mean us as Select Fulton, I think would be advantageous for the development authority to have a clear sense of this mission and its roles for better planning, especially as we go into 2024. Around seeking funding, when I go to my board of commissioners and ask for funding for small business loan programs and the like, well, what's the nuance between you guys and the development authority? I think memorializing this agreement helps us to better clarify what lanes we fill. Gotta love the infinity sign. It's an important piece, which is no limits. This doesn't force us into anything, doesn't compel us to do anything. We're not dictating what you do versus what we do. There's still that flexibility. We want that flexibility for overlap of opportunities to partner. Again, this is just memorializing what we think as kind of our best services and functions that we can offer to the community. And maybe Daniela and Shed in the room, our marketing people, probably what they're most excited about, helps us lean into our brands. What is Develop Fulton versus what is Select Fulton? So I think that's what this agreement offers. Next slide. Promise, two more. So there's always opportunities to partner. And some of those are very natural and we're already doing right now. The best one we do, the one that's the most finesse, we were just at the Georgia Economic Developers Association lunch yesterday, meeting with many people in the region as well as state project managers. They're big fans of Doris Coleman. They're big fans of this authority and Select Fulton for all the support that we provide for state projects, right? There's only so much the state can do. When it relates to job tax credits, when they offer up a REBA grant flowing through here, we take a lot of that workload off of them. I think we both have strong interest around catalyzing and really developing out what South Fulton looks like. You see some of that groundwork being laid by our infrastructure team, some of the work that this board has done with the Aerotropolis Alliance, but really figuring out what does the north side look like it does and what does the south side look like it does, and they're not somewhat in the similar lane. I think we're both motivated to go down that path. Very interested in fleshing out the development toolbox. Right now we're somewhat of a one-trick pony, right? We have the tax abatement, that's what we can offer. If we get some fees generated from that, we can offer some cash grant assistance. Very limited in the tools that we're able to offer. Not a lot to offer for small businesses, for those in targeted industries. So fleshing out that toolbox, maybe it's a match between what the authority is able to generate and we go to the Board of Commissioners and get some funding out of them. And then lastly, kind of what the whole model was built around, which is this seamless end-to-end service delivery model. It's not, oh, I need to figure out my real estate, so I'm going to this organization. Well, now I need to figure out incentives, so I'm going to that organization. Now I need my workforce development services. I'm going to go to that organization. It's that nice hand gesture of building out of the ground, company into the building, company being successful from a workforce development standpoint. That's what this agreement, that's what our partnership really offers companies. It's something that InvestAtlanta has tried to copy. I think we executed on it a little bit more professionally and better. That's a lot of information. Happy to answer your questions or just take some support. Yeah.
On the one slide where you're talking about transportation,
yeah.
You have TAS on there.
Yeah.
I'd go ahead and include CIDs too. They play an important role.
Yeah.
On what's going on from a transportation standpoint. Secondly, we just finished today at about 10:30 our final meeting of our Senate Study Committee on Workforce Development. The report should be ready next week. I would tell you, you might want to get a copy of it and look at some of the stuff we went through with K-12 and some companies that are doing some really innovative projects on workforce and how they're getting workforce, whether it's through Department of Corrections, the carpet industry, hiring people from that are getting out of prison and so on. We learned a lot from what we're doing, and y'all are doing great things, K-12. The other thing I would tell you is the Lieutenant Governor recently had a press conference, I guess this week, about rolling back red tape on licensing and getting people back to work quicker and cutting on regulations, but also, you know, reciprocity from people that come from other states that are already licensed
sure.
in a certain field. Let's get them to work. We need to get people back to work. And then the last thing I would ask is, could you walk us through, if Pat Wilson gets a prospect and they're all, you know, project, whatever, lemon sure. lime or whatever, are you the first point of contact pretty much for Fulton County? And then they say they want to be within 30 minutes of the airport, they want this, they want this, they want this. And then you kind of say, well, here are your options. You got Alpharetta, you got Johns Creek, Sandy Springs, South Fulton, whatever.
Right.
Is that how you?
Yeah, we're providing that front-end site selection service. Okay. And so we've got tools and access to things like CoStar, which helps us identify commercial real estate, again, insider knowledge around land opportunities. It's really what you're not able to Google that they're very interested in. So they can see a plot of land is available for sale, but they may not know, is the community going to support it? Am I going to get the zoning? Like, if you're doing a million square foot logistics center and you find a nice piece of property in Johns Creek, sorry, that's a quick, you know, that's maybe, would you support it? That's not going to go for your part. So yeah, we do that front end site selection piece. I'd say the authority comes in much more on the back end when we've got really a firm understanding around the real estate piece. Are they going to have labor market issues, some of this big data issue, items around governance and the like, and then finally put that together with, again, always try to bring it in partnership with the state as a state competitive economic development project. They're offering up job tax credits, maybe we're offering property tax reductions, the cities are offering business license waivers as a package deal to recruit something that's looking at Texas or somewhere else. Again, it's not for companies that necessarily need the grant or need the money. It helps to show that we've got skin in the game for that investment. And really, you know, the investment's the driver for us as Fulton County, but a bigger piece of that is the job space as well.
And Senator, whenever we do get calls from companies looking to possibly choose Fulton, we typically refer them to Samir and let them know he's like the first point of contact, and then we hope to see them later after they've worked with him and he has helped them.
And are you having meetings with Alpharetta Economic Development, South Fulton Economic, all the cities and so yep. on throughout the county and talking to them about what they're doing?
Both with kind of the regular venues, as I mentioned, the Aerotropolis on the south side and the North Fulton Chamber, meeting monthly or every other month. And then, yeah, I mean, we just had the Future Summit up in North Fulton under the North Fulton Chamber, and we had all the mayors, the six mayors of the cities there talking about development in the future. So there's multiple touch points of getting a sense right. of what a community is looking for and try to help direct in that manner.
Fantastic job. Thanks, Samir.
May I ask a question? Samir.
I didn't say yes.
Go ahead. Why not? It's regarding job tax credits. A few questions have come to us recently, but I know each time I go to a joint development authority meeting, it's always there buzzing around. I'm not sure who handles that notice to the companies about the job tax credits. If they're located in a joint development, within a joint development authority area, they yeah. get that extra $500, and I don't think a lot of our companies have been taking advantage of it.
No, because and that's because, right, they don't, it's, they would just file the regular taxes with the Department of Revenue and notate it, but they may not know the JDAMA. The Joint Development Authority piece. I mean, maybe right. if the project manager mentioned it, but you know, similar with like REBA, once the project's someone said yes to the dress and they're committed, state's kind of moving on to the next thing and really relies on us on the local side to, mm-hmm. to provide that.
So my question is, how will we? Right.
Bob, we're going to take that. We're going to need to take that offline.
No, I just.
No, you and Samir.
That's fine. I just didn't think this board was aware of that, so I wanted to make sure that they were.
We'll duly noted, and we'll make sure that information is shared. Samir, thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
For that presentation. I believe all the board members have received the proposed MOU between Select Fulton and Develop Fulton. And we'd like to entertain a motion regarding it.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to make a motion to approve the amended and restated economic development services agreement between Fulton County, Georgia and the Development Authority of Fulton County as presented.
Is there a second?
Second.
Fantastic. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed, same sign. Ayes have it. Great. So I believe it goes from here to the Board of Commissioners. And we'll try to make it happen. Thank you so much. I believe that everyone has gotten a copy.
copy of the proposed business plan for 2024. It was shared with the board, I guess, within the last week or so.
Email to board members.
The executive committee has taken a look at the business plan a couple of times and have given feedback. And I believe it's a good plan. On top of the business plan, we're looking at having a retreat in January with the full board to dive even further into the business plan in terms of trigger mechanisms, values in terms of what comes first, what comes second. But going into a new year, I think it's very important that the developer actually has the same plan. Do any board members have any feedback on the plan, the current plan?
Mr. Chairman, I don't have feedback on the plan per se. I do think it's important that we let the plan continue to have discussion on it between now and then, but I do think it's important that we have our retreat. As I understand it, we're hopefully going to have our retreat in January. We're only talking about 1 month into the year, and I want to make sure that whatever comes out of our retreat, especially from a priority standpoint, aligns with the business plan.
Okay, now, I believe that we did make a motion in the executive committee to adopt or recommend the adoption of the current plan. Just like a budget reconciliation or budget changes that can be amended, there's no reason why a business plan cannot be amended in that year. I think it's important that we can table it for now, but I would like to for the board members to take a look at the plan, start digesting it, and I just think it makes sense to adopt the plan before the year starts, just like it's going to be this important to adopt a budget that can change before the year starts. That's my opinion, but one voice on the board. But there's no motion to vote on it or adopt it at this present time. So that's food for thought. Any questions? Okay, fantastic. Okay. Financial review and audit committee.
Chair Walker. To present.
Yeah, so I think you had sent out the first item that we have under my committee. We had a pretty robust discussion in the last finance committee meeting. Went through all the usual discussions of where we stand financially, and I'll present that in a moment. We had a discussion about policies, one policy in particular. That we're not prepared to bring to the board yet, but that we're going to start the drafting of. We went over the audit and the auditors. I believe, Mr. Chairman, you said that we weren't going to have a full presentation on the audit. I'll share with the board, if you haven't gone through this process before, the presentation of the audit is a required event, but it's largely perfunctory or ministerial in that we can't really change the audit. We can ask questions related to the audit. I'm very happy that there were no findings that would lead to questions from my perspective, having looked at audits not just for private entities, but as well as the city of Johns Creek during my 16 years there. And certainly want to open the floor to the auditors to answer any questions that my fellow board members may have. The Finance Committee did vote to recommend to the board that we adopt accept the audit. And then the last thing we covered was the budget, and I'll have plenty to talk about that when the time comes.
Fantastic. Do any board members have any questions regarding the audit? I will say that we had a robust committee meeting day. We were able to stack a lot of committees on the same day, and even some of the board members that were not on the finance committee per se were able to get the full audit presentation. But if there are no further questions.
Mr. Chairman, if there's no questions, I'd like to make a motion.
Please.
That we accept the 2022 audit as presented by our auditors.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor, aye.
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 Aye. Thank you. So. Eyes have it. Same sign, name. Eyes have it. Tab, thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
Appreciate you being here to answer any questions. And the others. Okay.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman.
Going back, where we stand on our financials to date, our current revenue is just under $800,000 for the year. That's well under the expected budget of $1.2 million. We knew that. That's not new news. There could still be a closing or two between now and the end of the year, but I'm not expecting that number to materially change compared to the expenses, which are just under $1 million at this time. So we're in a net loss position for the year that will require a use of reserves. Again, I appreciate all the effort that's being made to control expenses between now and the end of the year, but there's not a whole lot that can be done at this point. The die is kind of cast. We're sitting at just over $7 million of cash on hand. That is not all reserves, but for the most part, that is the equivalent of your reserves. I'm certainly happy to answer any questions on the financials. Hearing none, that brings us to the budget, which in fairness, it's not the Finance Committee's budget, although there was a vote to recommend the budget that's before you that was sent out by Sarah Elizabeth, I believe, yesterday. To the board. I do want to give Sarah Elizabeth the floor to present her budget, and then, of course, I've got a few comments.
Okay, thank you. This proposed 2024 budget, I don't know the perfect word to use. I was going to say recommended by the Finance Committee. Maybe I could say vetted by the Finance Committee or suggested by the Finance Committee. Treasurer Bacher took us through several helpful exercises to determine the most accurate forecast for our budget. So the combination of our carefully analyzed budget scenarios plus the opportunities we have upcoming on the horizon have created this realistic 2024 proposed budget. It includes items that I feel are essential to allow us to grow, increase our pipeline, and really make the greatest impact on the county. You have a copy of the budget in front of you. You'll see that after those analysis of different exercises and projected revenue based on our pipeline, we have stated our authority fee revenue. You'll see at the top under the proposed 2024 budget column, fee revenue as $2.05 million. And then if you look down that far right column under proposed 2024 budget, you'll see the items that we included, such as line 6540, which is $30,000 for our CDE reactivation to allow us to invest in underserved communities using additional tools. Line 6100, a business retention and expansion program, we said in partnership with Select Fulton and Samir, $60,000. Line 6130, an increase in marketing, which is detailed in the business plan that you have that's in your email. Line 6310 provides for hiring of new staff at appropriate times. We included benefits for staff, which we don't have now, health or retirement benefits, so that is a very welcome change. This budget includes projects currently being reviewed by the board or already approved and that are projected to close in 2024. So thank you to Jim and Marva and, of course, Treasurer Bodker for your work and your careful direction and analysis on this budget. And I'll open for questions or any comments.
Sorry, I don't mean to be dominating the discussion today. Obviously, I take a very careful interest in all things finance. I also take an interest in the budget because I feel like I have some level of expertise, having been responsible for preparing the budget during my time at the City of Johns Creek. I want to start off by thanking staff. I think that at least in my brief time on the DAFC, I have not seen a more thoughtful effort than this to pull together this budget. I still think there's room to improve, but I think that you can't expect everything to happen overnight. But I'm very appreciative of that. I also want to thank the board members that participated on the committee discussion about the budget itself. There was a lot of thought that went into the review of revenue because everything's driven off revenue. And I do feel confident in the numbers that the committee recommended, and it was unanimous. As it relates to expenses, we didn't have a significant discussion on expenses other than the net new. I thought we had a very good discussion about that, and there was unanimous support for that as well. On to my personal comments. One, I want the board to notice that there was not a feeling of let's spend everything that we bring in. For the first time in a while, there is a contribution to reserves. That drives actually two things. One, it builds back our reserves because we've had a significant use of reserves over the last 2 years. We'll have another use of reserves this year. Second, the board may not remember, and some of us were not on the board at the time, we passed a budget a policy that when the board sets some percentages will actually drive a certain amount of contribution to reserves toward our strategic initiatives committee, which allows us basically to reinvest and further the mission of the DAFC. I think that's very important. Without a contribution to reserves, that can't really happen. And that was my goal back then, to set up a sustainable funding mechanism for the strategic initiatives committee related to those grants. Lastly, I think it's important that the board recognize that we have one time a year that we really get to talk about sort of the inner workings of the DAFC down to a very granular level, and that's because we have the purse strings. I still have some concerns. Those concerns are not such that I wouldn't recommend and pass this budget. It's really within the budget I ask some questions, and I think it's important that the board understand the questions I ask, and I'll let Sarah speak to the answers. On line item 6130, I asked some questions about some of the things that are occurring under there, specifically some things I needed to be reminded of, which are not that important at this point. But I did ask for things about, like, the Atlanta Fulton Day, the Council for Quality Growth, Roswell, Inc. And my question was still really the same for all of those, and it's going to be the same for the next section I'm going to talk about, and that is, what are we doing to ensure that when we give funding to these organizations and to these events, that there is something that ties directly to our mission as a board? In other words, are we just doing it? So I had a perception before I joined the board from the outside in, and that perception was that there were a lot of expenditures made by the Development Authority because it was the piggy bank for a lot of other organizations. Over the years, they had just held their hand out, and the DAFC was glad to help because there weren't other places where that funding could come from. Oftentimes, people were referred to the DAFC by the Board of Commissioners themselves. When they didn't want to do it, they said, oh, go to the DAFC, they'll do it. As an insider, I still share some of that opinion, not nearly as much as I had as an outsider. And that's where a lot of my questions are driven from. Because for me, as a fiduciary, as a board member, it's important that everything tie back to our mission, that we're not doing it and recognizing that, well, we're doing it because it tugs at our heart or it's important to us, but that it actually ties to the DAFC. And so that's the reason for those questions. In line item 6135, I asked why we continue to have a membership at a private dining club. I look at the bills. We don't use it that often, and it begs the question, why are we paying a monthly fee when we could just take someone to a restaurant and not incur the monthly fee? Yes, I'm looking for areas where money can be redirected toward more strategically for our organization. So it's not a terribly big amount, but it was something that I questioned. I asked, what's the purpose of us being the member of the Georgia Chamber, the Metro Atlanta Chamber? If they are doing things that are generating deal flow or exposure, those kinds of things, which, by the way, our executive director did say those are happening, then those are important. But I think we not, by the way, Select Fulton is a member of all of those. So the question is, do we need duplicate memberships, or can Select Fulton be our coverage of that? Then the next question I asked about was, on the other chambers, so North Fulton Chamber, South Fulton Chamber, et cetera, how does that tie to our mission? And I don't know that any of these things should be cut from the budget right now. I do think that I'm going to rely on our executive director to very thoughtfully think about these things before the checks are written each time, to at least at a minimum say to these organizations, I need something from you. I need a report that says if we're going to invest this, this is what's going to come back to us. On line item 6140, I do feel strongly about this. We're spending $8,000+ a year on an advertisement in the Book of Lists. I do not see any direct correlation between that and what we do. People either know about us or they don't. I don't think they're learning about it from the Book of Lists. So that's just a personal opinion of a place we could save money. The next thing I asked about was 6145. So one of the criticisms, or let me just say, one of the rumors that I heard about over my earlier years as mayor was, man, you've got to go to the DAFC Christmas party. It's the best party thrown in Fulton County.
It was a very different party then than it is today. It's been much scaled back, but I still question the use of $25,000 to throw a party every year. It's just a personal opinion. Yes, I'm a cheap person. As it relates to the cell phone bills and the hotspots. So I asked a question about hotspots. So almost all of our folks have a hotspot that they use. So I asked the question, it doesn't make sense to me on a daily basis why we have the use of hotspots. I was told it's because the county wouldn't provide, even though we're housed inside the county building, access to their internet. And so I did take an opportunity and speak with the county manager, and they have agreed to look into it because I explained to them how much we were spending independently, and they said they were going to take a look at it and see if they could provide that.
That's not true.
Tell, because that was me, who, because that's what I was told when I came, that we couldn't be on the same county Wi-Fi system. And
if you're at an office, you have to use the hotspot, but if you're in the building and you try to use a hotspot in here, it'll cut you off after 15 minutes.
You mean well, you the count, you
if
mean
you're
the
in the building?
Yes, you need a county.
Email. You don't have if you don't have a Fulton County email address, but so Fulton County doesn't provide us with hotspots.
No. I wasn't saying the county was providing us with hotspots. We were providing ourselves with hotspots because we needed to have access to the internet, and that was our only means to get there.
Well, we have to have when you're in when the folks that don't have a Fulton County email address. If you don't have a hotspot.
And I can't have a Fulton County email address, right. Is what I was told.
Yeah.
So we basically.
And now that they're
not county employees.
And you, still, yeah. And you still need it when you're out of the office, you still need the internet.
But your point is. I mean, we
but
need
we don't
the,
have
the point, the point is taken. The county.
My point is simply this. I can speak for myself. My point is simply this. I'm looking for every possible way to redirect certain uses of funds that I don't think are necessary so that those funds can be redirected toward things that are more directly tied to our mission. Certainly it is not in any way, shape, or form to inhibit our folks from being able to do their job. Lastly, I did ask a question about, I asked a question about our D&O insurance. I don't know how much D&O insurance runs, but I don't think there's a lot of risk of this board of making a decision that would be sued, which is what D&O insurance is for. And so I asked us to take a look at that to see if there were better rates on D&O insurance given the risk involved, because that's how they set those. And then lastly, my last questions were related to parking. We spend quite a bit on parking. We don't have folks here every single day, and I wanted to make sure that we took a good hard look at whether we should just be paying on the spot or whether we should be reserving monthly things. Look, the theme is the same in all of this. It's either providing the same amount of money, which I wouldn't suggest would go to contribution reserves, but more importantly, be redirected toward things that can directly affect the number of jobs, the quality of housing available within the county, and every dollar that's spent not in that isn't furthering the mission of the DAFC, as long as it's not inhibiting us from doing it. So that was my point. Overall, I do want to express again how thankful I am to all of the hard work the staff did. They did an incredible job. I've seen staff prepare these things in all of the organizations that I'm involved in, and the staff did a great job, and I fully support the budget.
Thank you. And I think I told you, Treasurer Bacher, I appreciated all your questions because it kind of forces us to really take a hard look, and it makes me feel empowered to really have more control with the line items and expenditures and think and analyze, okay, is this the best use or is there another opportunity that could be even better? So thank you very much for those questions. And also look forward. Some of it is philosophical with some of the organizations like the Chamber. You know, I've talked with different folks. Some say, well, you have to. You're, you know, an authority, a financing agency. You must be a member of this. But to your point, we don't necessarily directly measure if this is bringing us opportunities. So that's something we can ongoing talk about. And I'll talk with different board members to really understand what is the best role. But thank you very much for your questions. Thoughtful analysis.
I make a motion that we adopt the 2024 budget as presented.
Chairman, I know you're not going to want to hear this. You're not supposed to make motions as the chair of the meeting following Robert's rules.
Okay.
So
you're the chair of the. I thought you were the chair at this moment of that committee.
I'm not the chair of this.
Let me just do it. I'll make a motion. The 24 budget as presented.
I thought it was my chance to make a motion.
I second that, Mr. Chairman.
Give a motion.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Great. The
2024 budget has been adopted.
Mr. Chairman, by the way, the reason I do that is not to criticize you. The reason I bring those things up is I never want a decision that we make to be questioned after the fact. And if we're very clean in the way that we do all those things, no one can ever question it.
If I let something like that bother me, I cannot be.
Then I'll pick at you.
Is that a problem? All right. So Strategic Initiatives Committee, the chair is not here, so there's no presentation on that. Same thing goes with NFB, except there is an update that Marv would like to give us on NFBE. Marv?
Yes, I just wanted to say, thank goodness, we are about ready to roll out. We've tested everything that we can test, and everything seems to be working okay.
She's talking about the ProTrack system.
The ProTrack system, yes, sir, thank you. I didn't get a response from every board member, but these guys just came from some and so on. I'm pretty sure that things are going to work for you on board. So in December, we will email in December for the fourth quarter report that will come to us in the January of 2024. So we're officially starting collecting our data for January 2024. I'm expecting that we can start providing the chairman with the reporting that we've been looking for since 2019. Yes, been a while, but we're ready. So thank you all.
Thank you. I believe all the board members have a copy of the proposed dates for our meetings for 2024. We will put that on the agenda for a vote at our next meeting. Did you?
Yep. Mr. Chairman, would now be a good time to bring up what we had discussed. I can't remember at what committee level we discussed it, but it was about the committee day being held at the halfway point in between a board meeting and the next board meeting.
I'm going to do that, however. No, we can do that, but I'm going to defer. Okay, let's see this out. So there's been a request made in January for two call meetings for pricing by Georgia Tech. The board is being polled, I think it's the 11th and the 25th. So when we talk about that, those are Thursdays. We may want to consider that. I just wanted to go ahead and just put that out there.
Yeah.
But basically, we had a great committee day, we'll call it committee day, last week, which allowed us to serve on multiple committees. That Laura, you're going to be on a committee real soon. and Kwanzaa, so that we're a small board, so we overlap the committees. The executive committee is one of the committees. We feel it's important that the executive committee meet about mid-month prior to the next board meeting in case staff needs some directions or have any questions. So because of that, we're looking at mid-month as the best time to have set a particular day for committees to meet. And that's been the discussion. We can take a look between now and the next meeting to go ahead and come up with some proposed committee days. Doesn't mean that the committee days can't be flexible, we can't change them, but it allows us all to set our calendars with our best intentions. Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to add to that?
No. Mr. Chairman, I do want to make a motion because it's important that we pass this actually as a schedule for the following year.
Okay.
So I'd like to make a motion that we pass our meeting schedule for 2024 as presented today.
If there are no objections by the rest of the committee, I'd love to entertain a second.
Second.
Fantastic. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All of those opposed, same sign. Great. We've adopted it. Fantastic. Okay. There's no need for an executive session. Our next regularly scheduled monthly meeting is Tuesday, December 5th, and look forward to seeing you all then. I'd love to entertain one more motion.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Goodbye. Thanks, guys.
Thank you all very much. And we'll also be polling board members about a retreat in January. Thank you, everyone.
Just two.
Good morning. We're on a special session.
Okay.
I'll do the best I can. We may not vote. Okay, yeah, please do. Good to see you.
It's great getting under your club, by the way.
Doris, so we can't have a county email address, right?
No, he's looking into that.
I know all about this. I've been working with IT the whole time, so I will let you know when I'm done.
Let's have a separate added in terms of how to water you. I want to talk to you about it.
Oh, nothing.
I think there's like another way. Well, whatever. Vic's open to whatever you want to talk about.
We don't need to go to Vic.
Now that he understands it's an expensive problem.
No.
So you're like, what's your position here?
Compliance manager.
Oh, gotcha. So you make sure everything's like. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. What's your name?
Doris.
Doris, mm-hmm. JP.
Okay.
Cool. Okay. Well, I'll see you later.
Next time.
Happy Thanksgiving, I guess.
Same to you.
Thank you.